Sometimes we get the obvious thing wrong, like the most obvious thing. Like the people in these stories. Police in Los Angeles had good luck with a robbery suspect who couldn't control his mouth during a lineup. They had a lineup of a number of individuals, and when the detective asked each man in the lineup to repeat the words, "Give me all your money or I'll shoot," the man shouted, "That's not what I said!" Police in Oakland, California spent 2 hours attempting to subdue a gunman who had barricaded himself inside his home. After firing 10 tear gas canisters into the home, they realized that the man was standing right next to them shouting, "Please come out and give yourself up." They got the obvious things wrong. And it's easier for us to see that in others than to see that in yourself. And sometimes we get confused about our role. If you want stress in your life, if you want lots of frustration, here's the plan. Try to make everybody like you. Try to get everybody to listen to your opinion and try to get everybody to agree with you. You will be frustrated and you will begin pulling out your hair. And if you've ever spent time barking up that tree, I have good news for you. What God is asking you to do is not confusing. And if you're anything like me, and you've spent time in your life majoring on the minors, then I have good news. This morning, we're going to major on the major issue. We're going to get clarity as we look at this character named John the Baptist. As we walk through John, we're in John chapter 1, starting in verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. That's John the Baptist. Some translations add that to clarify. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So, what can we learn from John? The first thing is, it said, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. John the Baptist was sent from God. And he had quite a remarkable entrance. It was a miraculous entrance. His mother, Elizabeth, was unable to have children. She couldn't conceive. And I thought about that just this morning. There are those of you who are going through difficulties. And you could relate to Elizabeth. I wonder how many years Elizabeth said, "Lord, what have I done wrong that I can't have children? Why is your hand against me?" And we think it was a negative thing, but this was a blessing in disguise. If you're going through a difficulty, I want to tell you, God has a purpose, and just as he had a plan for Elizabeth, he has planned for the difficulty you're going through. And so an angel finally showed up as Zechariah was ministering at the temple. An angel showed up and said that, you know, Zechariah was going to have a son born to him. But Zechariah didn't believe it, that he could have a child. And he questioned the angel and said, "How can I be sure of this?" And I think perhaps, we don't know this for sure, I think his hands were on his hips. I'm not sure. But he could, and so the angel said, "That does it. You can't talk until what I'm saying actually comes to fruition." And so Zechariah couldn't talk. Everybody knew that something had happened. But this is what the angel said about John the Baptist, Luke 1:17, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so that's what the angel said. And so it came time. John the Baptist was born, and he was being circumcised 8 days later, and they were going to name him. Well, this is a great thing. Zechariah, you have a son in your old age. This boy should be named Zechariah. And they wanted, and he's motioning no, and they gave him a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And then he was able to speak. And boy, he had things pent up, and he had this song. He'd been waiting 9 months, right? And so he had this song, and in this song, Luke 1:76, it says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to do what? To prepare the way for him." John the Baptist was a prophet like Elijah. He was a prophet like those in the Old Testament. And his role was to prepare the way for the Lord. Now, that was a pretty elaborate entrance. I'm just curious, do any of you have a birth story like that? I don't. That's an amazing birth story. But why was John the Baptist sent? He was sent from God. Why? It says, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. What was he supposed to do? He was to be a witness. A witness. And it's an interesting words that are used in this passage. Actually, interesting word. Because witness, he came as a witness in the original language, that's the word martyria. And it's a noun version of the same word that's translated testify, martyrio. Same root word, the word we get the word martyr from, same word. The noun version and the verb version. And both of these were two versions of the same word. That's like saying, he came as a witness to witness. Now, they didn't do that in the translation because that sounds kind of weird to read, doesn't it? It's like saying, he came as a testifier to testify. What's the point of doing that? Why did John write it that way? John the disciple write it that way. He was emphasizing his role. He wanted to emphasize what his role was. That's like saying he came as a runner to run, or she came as a baker to bake. It's emphasizing specifically this is what they're there to do. And that's what John the disciple was pointing out as he wrote this. So what was John the Baptist a witness to? What was he supposed to do? A witness about what? He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He was a witness to the light. John the Baptist pointed out the light. Several verses later, we see in John 1:34, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So, John the Baptist was sent by God to be a witness to the light. You know what I find interesting? What John the Baptist was here to do, it's exactly what we're here to do, isn't it? Let's examine that. John 17:18. As you sent me in the world, I have sent them into the world. We are sent by Jesus. Jesus said that in John 17:18. We are sent by Jesus. We didn't randomly show up on this planet. We were sent here to the places we work. We were sent here to be in the neighborhoods we're in. We're sent here to be in the families that we are. Why? Why? Why are we sent here? To be witnesses. We are sent to be witnesses. Before he went back to heaven, Jesus actually said, Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. And notice that Jesus didn't say, you should be my witnesses. He says, you will be. We are witnesses. Not that we should be. And so we're either a good witness or a bad witness, right? When I was in college, I was going home from school one day, and you know, all of a sudden, when you hear somebody slamming on the brakes, you immediately go into, what's going on, what's going on? And it was a guy, and I saw him right here, and he slammed on his brakes, and he slid and slid and slid and rear-ended the car right there. And I saw the whole thing. And so, you know, eventually the police showed up, and everybody was okay. But I went up to the driver that was rear-ended, and I said, here's my name, here's my address, here's my phone number. If you need, you know, a witness, I'll tell them what I saw. Well, I was in college, and I was working full-time, so I was busy. And the insurance company sent me, you know, a letter. Please fill out this thing. And guess what I did? Nothing. I was busy. I didn't fill it out. And then the driver who was rear-ended, he called me. And he said, hey, they're blaming me for the accident. They say it was my fault. Can you please? Okay. And I did it. And I filled it out. What was I doing? I was being a bad witness. I was a bad witness because I didn't say what had really happened. See, being a witness is not talking about what you read online. Being a witness is not talking about what you heard from a friend. Being a witness is not what happened to your dad. Being a witness is talking about what happened to you. What did you experience? We are not sent here as a lawyer to speak up to defend Jesus in the court of public opinion. That's not our job. We are to be a witness. What did you experience? Why do you have hope? Why do you have joy? How has Jesus changed your life? What is your hope for life moving forward? See, we are witnesses. Why? To the light. We're witnesses to the light, Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are to reflect him. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, you are the light of the world like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise you. Right? What? No, they'll praise your heavenly Father. How do you know you're doing good deeds properly? When people look at what you did and they go, oh, thank God. And you go, ah, I did it right. I did it right. When people praise God and you, what you do, the way you love people is a light. It points to Jesus. It's an arrow. That's how we are to live. And he's the source. He's your source. We're simply a mirror. But are you putting your light under a basket? No. You remember that children's song? Did you learn that children's song? This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You remember that? I remember I was probably 6 years old. Kenny Kaufman was leading that song at the church I went to as a kid. Hide it under a basket? No. You know, Scott, I don't know if we need to add that to our list of songs, but can you play it? Sue says she can play it. But what's the point? The point is we need to let our light shine. Don't hide it under the bushel basket of, well, I'm not sure other people would appreciate, you know, and I might get criticized if I did that. And so I'm just going to play it. No, just love people, serve people, look for opportunities, pray in the morning. Do you like taking a risk? You want to do something scary? Do this. In the morning, say, God, if you give me an opportunity to share you today, I'm going to do it. What will God do? I don't know, but it'll be cool. And he'll give you an opportunity. And God's in heaven going, yes, I've been waiting for that. Here. And he'll give you an opportunity to serve someone and maybe to do it and nobody else will ever know. But you've done something to serve someone else, to love somebody else, to sacrifice for somebody else that's going to make a difference. And so, as we look at what we are to do, right? We are just like John the Baptist. We are just like John the Baptist. Isn't that cool? Now, when I say that, see, we're sent by witnesses to the light. Does that make sense that we're just like John the Baptist? There's only one problem with that. You know what's wrong with that? It's not right. It's not. See, we have this authority that we use for our belief system. It's called God's Word. And in Luke 7:28, Jesus says this amazing thing. I tell you, among those born of women, how many of you were born of women? Let me just see. Okay. There is no one greater than John. So none of us, humanly speaking, are greater than John. Okay? Goes on. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. If you're a follower of Jesus, what Jesus is saying is you're what? You're greater than John. You're greater than John. The privileges that you have as a follower of Jesus living in this time is far superior to the greatest role under the Old Testament law. We are now a kingdom of priests and we relate to God directly. The veil at that time when John the Baptist was here, the veil between the Holy of Holies and everything else was still in place. Now it was torn in two. Now we have God's Word. John didn't understand the ministry of Jesus. We've got it all written down for us. We have so much more at our disposal than what John the Baptist did. With everything we have, with what we do with our life, we should make John the Baptist look like a first grader. That's what Jesus is saying. John the Baptist came as a witness to the light. We have much more available to us than he did. How much more should we be doing, accomplishing? And it's so hard, right? Here's the bottom line. We are greater than John the Baptist. This is what we are. It's a mirror, right? And what does it do? What does a mirror do? It reflects. This is dangerous. How are you doing, Rick? And as this, I don't know if you can hear this, but as this mirror reflects, you can hear it moaning and groaning in right? Because it's so hard when, right? It's working so hard. Do you hear that? No. It's just naturally doing what a mirror does. When you are a mirror, when you shine the light of Jesus around you, he's not saying, I want you to go to Africa. No, I want you in your job. I want you in your neighborhood. Yeah, there may be some of you that God will call to go to Africa, but he wants you to do, to be a light, is to shine where you are. You don't have to manufacture light. You just reflect the light. Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you're in God's Word every day. And when you do that every day, when you spend time in prayer every day, God is changing you and refining you. And then you shine all over the place. And you just shine. It's a natural thing that happens out of a relationship with God. And God is sovereign. He can transform you. He can transform your setting and your family. See, John came to prepare the way for Jesus. We have never been commanded to bring conviction in other people's lives. We simply prepare the way. And when we talk about Jesus to somebody we come in contact with, and somebody I was talking to maybe a month ago was like, "What?" You know, I told him a story. Somehow it came up, what I was like as a kid. And they're like, "So what happened to you? Did you like marry well, or why are you the person you are today?" And I said, "Oh, it's just Jesus." And that person no longer works at the place where I saw her. But she knows, oh, it was Jesus that did a work in his life. That opens the door for God to work. It opens the door for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. That's my job. My job is not to bring conviction. It's your job to be light, to shine the light of Jesus, and then allow God to do the work, because God's word never returns void. He's going to use that. I'm still on a hunt for a lady. When I was a rebellious 19-year-old kid, this lady that I knew from church camp wrote a card and simply said, I was living a backslidden life and she knew it. And it simply said, hey, thinking about you and praying for you, hope you have a good day. Tell you what, that card pierced all of my defenses. And it made such a big difference in my life. And I'd like to find this lady and say, thank you. You have no idea how much that meant to me. You can do the very same thing simply by being the light. Being the light. And prepare the way for Jesus to work. See, remember last week we talked about aligning yourself with Jesus, right? That when you align yourself with Jesus, then you reflect. That's where it comes from. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Here's my challenge. Simply say to God right now, Lord, give me an opportunity this week to share about you, and I will do it. Take that challenge right now. Tell the Lord you're going to do that. And then surrender to God. If it helps, hold your hands out and say, God, I surrender my life to you. However you want to work in and through my life is okay. Because I want you to use my life. Tell him that. Father, thank you that you've done the hard work. You are the light. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the way. And so we simply have to point to you. Thank you for what you're doing. But more than that, thank you for what you're going to do in us and then through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.